Verulam Sports.
Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sports with your host, Tony Rice. And I've just been having a little bit of a chinwag off air with our guest tonight, Radlett's own Cliff Crown, chairman, of course, of the Bees of Brentford Football Club. And I was joking with him that it's now the second consecutive year that we are in May. And of course, talking playoff football, the championships have reached the playoff stages. Too early, I feel, to call it a tradition. But come on now, Cliff, this has got to be a custom.
Well, it's certainly looking that way, Tony. Although, for all the right reasons, I hope we're not doing it this time next year.
Yeah, absolutely, Cliff, because, of course, there is that dream, which, of course, only four teams have left to reach that promised land of the Premier League. And as you know better than I, and indeed better than most, that would be, wouldn't it, the very first time Brentford reached the Premier League. Wow. I mean, goodness me, so close again.
Yes, indeed. Considering we sold two of our best players who contributed something like 44 goals, I think it was last. Obviously, replaced them with Ivan Toney.
He's not had a bad season, has he, that young man?
Yeah, he's done extremely well. So to be back in the playoffs despite that is testament to what a really good football team we have.
And also, I would argue over and beyond that, because that's a given. The facts speak them for themselves. You are in the playoffs. You finished third. You are aware of the league's top scorers with 79 goals. You had the third best defensive record in the championship. So it's a given that they're a good club, Cliff. For me, what I've always been more impressed about is the fact that the club isn't just the players on the pitch, but the culture underlying that and the vision of people like yourselves behind the scenes.
Yes, thank you, Tony. That's very kind of you to say. It's obviously a big team effort, both on and off the pitch. Togetherness is a very big part of the football club. And we take our successes in our stride.
Yep.
We remain humble and never forget where we come from, because ultimately Brentford is still a very small football club. And although we now have a beautiful new stadium.
Yes, indeed.
Fundamentally a small club. And so to be in this position is very gratifying indeed.
Cliff, totally respect that those statements said so humbly and so candidly. But I've got to be frank with you. I don't buy that these days. Let's be honest. Let's put it into its true picture. So here's the thing. Okay, again, you, of course, had a great cup run this year, beating only by Spurs at the semi-final stage of the Championship Cup. Great efforts there. Of course, as we've said now, the second consecutive year where we are in the playoffs. And of course, last year, just the final hurdle that was the trip. I'll tell you what, Cliff, if that isn't something more than a little tiny club, then, you know, I don't know what is. I mean, come on.
Well, it's, let's say we're growing in stature and continuing to develop. And obviously getting to the Premier League is our ultimate goal. And having come so close last season, I hope that the experience and the disappointment will spur us on to go that one step better.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's still so much football ahead. As we know, the playoffs are a lottery. We are going to develop and build upon those points. But first and foremost, I'm fascinated to learn just a little bit more about a little bit of a family connection that's just burgeoning at Brentford with the Priestley clan getting an extension, a connection there. Obviously, Aaron, one of the members of the team, doing the business on the pitch, and Steve Presley, the ex-Rangers and indeed Celtic man, very few of those guys around, coming in as, I love his title, Head of Individual Development. Tell me a little bit more, Cliff, about that particular development.
Well, it's something that we've been doing for a number of years now. As you will know, and your listeners will know, every club has coaches that train and develop the players as a group.
Yep.
And we've been great believers that the individuals also need time and attention, and having somebody with Stephen's experience to spend one-to-one time with the player individually and helping them with their challenges, with their focus, and giving them those extra tips and techniques, and just generally being a confidant, we believe will add something to their overall performance. And as you know, at Brentford, it's all about trying to gain those extra little edges.
There's 1%, as they call it, isn't it?
Exactly. And we think that this is an area where we can perhaps just improve slightly people's performance. And if we do, obviously, we would expect to see that on the pitch as well.
Fantastic. I'm sure that's going to be exciting. I'm sure everybody there at the Bees will benefit from the expertise of Stephen Presley. Again, as you say, a true football man. Coming back, though, of course, we must build up to this big fixture against Bournemouth, the Cherries. Just before we talk form, and of course, we'll build up to that man, Ivan Toney's performances of this campaign. I got to say, Cliff, I'm a neutral. Obviously, really hope that Brentford do the business because, you know, it was great. The story, the narrative, I just love it. I'm a romantic. But, you know me, I'm also a little bit of a Leeds supporter. And Jonathan Woodgate, loving that he's doing the business at the Cherries. What do you think of him as a manager? Obviously, a great player, an England performer, slightly injury-ravaged, relatively early phases in his managerial career. What's your take on him in this new context, managerially?
Well, he had a bit of a tough time in his one season at Middlesbrough, a club that he'd obviously played for. And so I think it was a little surprising that he turned up at Bournemouth literally days before Jason Tindall was released and let go. So he stepped into the breach and actually he's done a really good job for Bournemouth until they played us a few weeks ago.
Yep.
They won seven in a row. They were flying and looking in really, really good form. And we were able to stop that on the day. But, you know, it is, as you said, Tony, it's a lottery. It's a different game and different circumstances. And we will see how things develop. But I think Jonathan himself has done himself no harm at all with the way in which he's picked Bournemouth up because they were struggling a bit and really got them playing well.
Great points there. But as we've stated, these playoffs are just, I just don't envy anybody. I just think it's such a nightmare. But at least we know it. We're aware of it, so we can't grumble. Yeah. No. But I'm still a believer that momentum is a powerful thing. And my word, if we're talking momentum, then the Bees are absolutely buzzing at the moment in time. I think you have to go back to March the 3rd for the last time you actually suffered defeat against reigning champions Norwich, unbeaten therefore in 12 matches. You mentioned again, context-wise of form, under Woodgate's stewardship, that Bournemouth were on form. However, of late, I think they're stuttering. So if momentum is a factor, then surely that's in favour of Brentford at this time.
Yes, I can't argue with the stats, obviously. As a stats-based man, we're well aware of those. And but it's only three games that Bournemouth have run into a little hiccup. And what I think we've all seen in this really bizarre season is how form can change very quickly. We ourselves went on a 21-game unbeaten run, and all of a sudden, we lost three in a row.
But isn't that just the nature of the Championship, as we've said in the past? Of course, that nature amplified by the factoid, which is CV19 and all that.
Yes, I think it's right. It's definitely been amplified by the impact of COVID and the lack of fans in particular, which has certainly affected the home performances of many of the teams. So I think that the situation is that we're in the playoffs. We're obviously going to give it the very best shot we can. We go into it on the back of four successive victories, as you say, unbeaten in 12. A mean defence that's only conceded, I think, two goals in the last eight games.
And indeed, only 42 all campaign.
Yeah, but again, one has to look at more recent form to get the best barometer of how the teams are performing. So in recent games, we've done well. But at the end of the day, it is the playoffs, and Bournemouth are a very, very, very good team. They only just came down from the Premier League last
season.
and kept most of their players. So there's lots of Premier League quality within their squad. And so it'll be a tough couple of games, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens on the day of both the first and second leg.
But no doubt confidence will be high. One thing I'm fascinated to discover, Cliff, is you mentioned, of course, of the maturity now of the Brentford team. As we've discussed, this is now our customary conversation in May, you and I. So again, it's kind of been there, done that. The T-shirt didn't quite fit too nice, I wouldn't have thought, after last year's playoff final defeat. But life teaches us lessons, if you're willing to listen. What do you think are the key lessons that the team have picked up and therefore will take forwards with them for these playoff fixtures?
That's a good, very good question, Tony. I think the key aspects that you really need to consider, frankly, is experience and learning from the experience. And most of the boys were there last year and will remember how it felt to lose that final. But, you know, we're in the semi-finals. We haven't got to the final. Mm-hmm. So what we've got to do is concentrate on the semi-final. Last year, we went to Swansea and lost 1-0. We were fairly outraged by the red card given to Rico Henry. And we came back and fought very well and did well in the second leg. So we will take that into the first game at Bournemouth on Monday night and see where that takes us. But I think ultimately, you know, we know our game plan. We have a style of play. We know what we want to achieve. So it's just about going out there and giving our best and remembering how important it is to all of us to be successful. Other than that, it's on the day and how things develop on the day.
And of course, as we all know, the nature of any type of sport, let alone football in these curious playoffs, is that there are so many imponderables. But do you know what? That's why we just love it. But of course, it's easy for me to say that in my nice little studio. Of course, living it, Cliff, my word. The emotions must be riding high. I guess one of the keys to success is how you control that emotion, isn't it, I suppose? And, you know, I guess perhaps Stephen Presley might be able to impress one or two tips of that particular trade.
It may well be the case. I think you're right. Controlling emotions are very important. If we do well on Monday night, we're only halfway through. Mm-hmm. So one has to keep your feet on the ground, take one game at a time, concentrate on the next match, make sure you perform to the best of your ability, and then see where you go from there. So we'll just concentrate on Monday night's game, and then we'll think about the second leg after that. But we do know that if we play to our very best of our ability, that we're going to give them a really good game, and we would hope to do well. But it's football.
This is it, and that's why we love it. I think Jimmy Greaves was the guy who said it's a funny old game, but there we go.
Sure is.
Just circling back, just ever so quickly, as you mentioned, it is impressive, this successful campaign, given the vultures that came following last season's playoff final defeat. And we understand the nature of the game. You do it, it's what you do. What was the mood like of the fans? Was there a sense of perturbance, or were they keeping faith and therefore just this is where we expect it to be? Or was there a sense that, oh, come on, guys, we were so close, if we could only hold on to these superstars? What was the atmosphere like at the start versus maybe where we're at now?
I think at the start there was a certain amount of scepticism because obviously Ollie Watkins left fairly it was probably in the middle of, I think, September. Mm-hmm. And then Saeed Benrahma left at the end of the window. But we'd already replaced Ivan Toney back at the beginning of September. So the question was how he was going to perform. But I think you have to bear in mind that we've been doing this for a few years now. And so there are plenty of fans who trust the process and trust the owner and the management team, and expected us that for us to do reasonably well. I'm not sure how many thought we would be in the top six again, but I think vast majority of fans felt that we know what we're doing, and we would hopefully have a good season, and that's what it turned out to be.
And indeed, the man who did step up to the plate, Ivan Toney, truly did step up to the plate big styly. 31 goals in 45 games. That is an all-time record for the Championship. Again, you noticed his talent, but there was never a guarantee. There were so many imponderables. But my word, is that not, in microcosm, a true exemplification of the identification of talent process, which is one of the aspects which has meant that this little club is now a burgeoning player?
Yes, I think, listen, no one was surprised about Ivan Toney. He'd scored 24 goals in 32 games for Peterborough before the season was brought to an end last year. So he wasn't a surprise package. Plenty of clubs knew about him. But you have to take a leap of faith. And he'd not played at Championship level before. And he didn't really play for Newcastle when he joined them some years ago. So it was a bit of an unknown quantity, and you have to make that decision, take that view as to whether the player is capable of performing and developing and growing. And I think he's done that. And it's certainly, I've been amazed at the quality of Ivan Toney, not just as a goal scorer, not just as a penalty taker, but his all-round play has been exceptional.
But that work rate, that ethic, that work rate is once again, I think, one of the kind of, I guess it's one of the key qualities that your exceptional scouting teams are seeking. And I guess that's one of the reasons why you are now consistently knocking on, quote unquote, heaven's door.
Yeah, it's not just work rate, Toney. Obviously, that's one aspect of it. But actually, it's more about the individual. Mm. And will that individual fit into the style of play we have, into the system? Will they gel with the other players? Obviously, it's impossible to get every player to gel with every player. But you do need to get that team spirit, that camaraderie, and that togetherness that is so important for a successful group of players. And we work very hard on trying to find the right people who will fit in well at our football club.
Tell you what, if you could package, bucket, a bottle and sell that, you would be a multi-billionaire, because it is ineffable and it is fascinating, but it is brilliant to see it proven that there are indeed successful ways to almost quantify the unquantifiable, which is fabulous. Right, Cliff, I've been honoured again to enjoy your company. I know you're going to be enthusiastic. I know there's a lot on the line, and you and I both know the nature of the playoffs. Might I be so bold to ask you in closing to, chopping block neck time, give me a mini prediction for the Monday night?
Well, I would like to think we could repeat what we did in the league only 3 weeks ago and go there and win 1-0. But I think if we come back with at least a draw, then I think most of us will be really happy with that. But I see no reason why we can't repeat what we did only a few weeks ago. And in that game, we had Pontus Janssen sent off and played most of the second half with 10 men. So that's really the objective. We go out every game to try and win. And that's what we'll be doing on Monday night.
Absolutely, and it's going to be exciting. The playoffs always are. Cliff, I'm looking forward to talking to you throughout this playoff run, and we shall see where that takes the bees. But as always, a massive thank you for your time, your company. From myself here, the whole team at Verum Sport, extending our best wishes to everybody there at Brentford. But for now, for tonight, thank you once again.
Thanks, Toney.